Whilst Chris sorts out, I'm gonna pray for him. If you would like to and feel comfortable, just reach out a hand towards him, just so that, you're engaged with the prayer and he knows that we're praying for him. Father, thank you for Chris. Thank you for the wisdom that you have given him, the time he spent preparing this talk. And would you use the words he says to teach and challenge and encourage us. And may he know you with him as he preaches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. And welcome if we've never met before. My name is Chris, and I'm part of the team here at Christchurch, and with Helena, my wife, who's sat over there, and our two girls. We've been here for nearly 10 years. And today I'm going to be finishing off what has been three bits of one talk, really. I did the first two a couple of weeks ago, and today I'm going to be finishing off. If you weren't here for any of those, don't worry about it. I'm sure God will still be able to speak to you this morning and through his word. And I told you a couple of weeks ago that the first time that I'd spoken in this particular little set of talks, Rafi had said to me that I wasn't very inspiring. And I guess you might have been wondering, like, what she'd made of the last one, you know, because I was working, you know, to inspire people and inspire Rafi, and she's sat over there now. But she said she wasn't listening, so I don't know whether that's better or worse, the fact that she couldn't tell me whether I was inspiring or not, but she wasn't even listening, so don't worry about it. A few weeks ago, I opened up this 3 weeks of talks, or it's kind of just one thing really, but encapsulated in three parts. And we talked out of Colossians chapter 1, and we talked about this idea of walking the walk. The idea that in Colossians 1, we're invited into this amazing journey with God where we get to walk a life that is worthy of him and please him in every way. Amazing, amazing opportunity, invitation that we get as followers of Jesus. And that in that talk, what we had thought about was that sometimes we believe something. We can talk ourselves into believing something, or we can convince ourselves into believing something. But when we're faced with that thing in front of us, we actually realize that maybe we didn't believe that thing as much as we thought we did. So we might believe in being generous with ourselves, our time, our money, but when we're faced with the opportunity and we choose not to, our actions actually tell us more about what we believe than what we thought we believed. And the opportunity that we get, the invitation that we get from Colossians, is to walk a life that's worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And the foundation to doing that is this. We discover that in the verse just above. And it says that we can continually ask God to fill us with the knowledge of his will, which is given to us through the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives us. That's the foundation. If you want to live a life, if you want to walk out a life that's worthy of God and please him in every way, the foundation for that is to continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, which comes through the wisdom and the understanding that the Holy Spirit gives us, which led us to 2 weeks ago where we attempted to try and unpack some of the nature of the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, which is clearly so different from our wisdom, which is why we so often see a difference between the Bible talking about human wisdom and God's wisdom. The Bible's really clear. There is a difference between the two. And God's wisdom is different to our wisdom. We see that through the nature of his kingdom playing out through the Gospels and through the book of Acts. And all through Scripture, we see the nature of his kingdom through his wisdom plays out in a really different way to how we might have done it if we had done it ourselves. Which is why aligning ourselves with the wisdom of God is really, really important. The wisdom of the Spirit enables us to walk out a life that's worthy of God and to please him in every way. Which then leads us to today. And last time we talked out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we saw in those verses that God had made some really specific choices about the way his kingdom was going to play out on the earth. And that he made some choices about how the weak things and the foolish things and the nothing things, the despised things. He was going to choose those things to demonstrate his kingdom on the earth. Those are the choices that he was going to make. And as Paul writes to the Corinthians, he goes on at the beginning of chapter 2, and he writes this, and I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Paul writes this, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, that when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." The title of our session today is Power Struggles. Power Struggles. We're going to take some time to look at the power of God together, outworking through these verses and a few other bits of scripture, particularly in Ephesians. Why don't you turn to someone next to you and just say hi to them, welcome them to church if you haven't done so already. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes and we'll take this journey further on in Corinthians. Go. Okay, let's bring it back together. And maybe you can continue those conversations later on in our morning. So, our umbrella for this morning, our umbrella verses for this morning are the same ones that we used 3 weeks ago from Colossians chapter 1. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life that is worthy of God and please him in every way. That's our umbrella. It's still our umbrella for this morning. But we're going to look at we're going to go on in Colossians in a little bit and just unpack some of this idea about the power of God and being strengthened with the power of God. The Bible talks about being strengthened with his power, and we're going to come to that in a minute. But before we do that, we're going to just look at that question that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 poses to us. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, "So that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Our first question for this morning is, does our faith, does your faith, does my faith, does it rest on human wisdom, or does it rest on God's power? That's our first question for this morning. That's our starting place. So before we go any further, let's just imagine a different kind of a world together, okay? A different faith world. Let's imagine a faith world with none of the really good things that help us with our faith. And before I go on, I want to say that these things can be really, really good. I'm not saying they're not good. I know lots of us use these things. They're great. Except you hear me. There's no judgment against the things I'm about to say. But let's just imagine a world where these things don't exist. Let's imagine a world where there's no daily devotionals. Let's imagine a world where there's no Lectio 365. Let's imagine a world where we have no access to our favorite YouTube preachers, our favorite podcasts. Let's imagine a world where even, heaven forbid, none of our worship playlists exist. Can we imagine that world together? Let's imagine a world where none of these things are accessible to us. Hey? The 1970s, exactly. And that was my point, right? For the vast majority of human history, none of us, very few of us, most of history had no access to these things. Most of history had no access to the internet. Most of history had no access to the church, which has been globalized through all sorts of different means. Most of history didn't have books to read. Most of history have not had podcasts to listen to or Lectio 365 to engage. Most of history have not had these things available to them. And arguably, I want to be careful with this. Arguably, we see a greater measure of the power of God throughout history without these things. Which brings me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Does our faith rest on human wisdom, or does it rest on the power of God? Because what happens when these things suddenly disappear from our existence? What happens when you suddenly don't have access to your favorite YouTube preacher? What happens when the internet goes down? What happens when your podcast ends? You know what I'm saying. Does our faith rest on human wisdom, or does it rest on God's power? And I'm not saying that God doesn't use these things. You've heard me say that. These things can be really, really good, but they can also create dependencies which are really unhelpful in our faith journey. I think it was Spurgeon that said something really great. He said, if men believe because of the preacher's grand speech, their faith would be good for nothing. If one man can convert you, another can unconvert you. You need the power of God. If your faith rests on the eloquence of a person or through the means of a human being, that person who can convert you, another person could unconvert you. Because ultimately, isn't it the power of God that transforms our lives and brings us to saving faith in Jesus? It's the power of God. It's a transformation of our lives, ultimately, that does that. And when we create dependencies on other things, we get ourselves into a bit of a mix-up. So what does it mean for our faith to rest on the power of God? Well, it goes back to some teaching we did a whole bunch of years ago on dependency. When we look at the idea of dependency, what we see is a word there, or a bit of the word, pend. So you see it in different types of words, suspend, pendulum, all those kinds of words. And it means to hang down. So to hang the weight of your life on something is to depend on it. When you depend on something, you hang the weight of your life on that thing. And some of us get ourselves into trouble in life because we hang the weight of our lives on certain things that were never designed to bear that weight. Which is why God has always been calling for us to depend on him. He's always been wooing us towards him. Hasn't it always been about our growing love for God? It's always been about knowing him. Hasn't it always been about that? And somewhere along the line, I feel like in our current climate of faith, we just got mixed up and suddenly our dependencies have shifted into all these other things. Remember in our verses from Jeremiah a couple of weeks ago, God was saying, don't boast in anything, boast in the fact that you get to know me. That's it. It's always been about knowing him. It's always been about knowing him. To rest our faith on the power of God is to depend on that power, to hang the weight of our life on it, both in that broad sense of salvation in Jesus, the power of God through Jesus over sin and death and through the resurrection, but also in the daily distribution of our life, like every single day, to depend on the power of God over human wisdom. So how do we know if our faith is resting on human wisdom over God's power? How do you know? It's a really tricky question, isn't it? Because it will be different for all of us. I guess one measure might be to think about some of the things that we've talked about this morning in that list of things, in my opinion, that wonderful world where these things, we don't have to worry about them. If those things are taken away from you, what happens to your faith? Holy Spirit steps in. It's an opportunity. But you could just ponder on that as I begin to just unpack a few more things. Like, what happens? What happens? We want to provide an opportunity this morning to pray for you if that resonates with you. And that actually maybe God is asking you to just shift the balance, the weight of your dependency this morning towards his power over human wisdom. Okay. Our second question for this morning is, does our strengthening depend on the power of God? Does our strengthening depend on the power of God? So when we think about strength, there are lots of things that we could talk about here, but the Bible talks quite a lot about being strong. And often in our lives, or at least in my life, what I find is sometimes I spend a lot of energy trying to make myself strong, whereas the Bible talks about the power of God making you strong. being strengthened with his power is the way it talks about it. And we see that in our verses, in our umbrella verses in Colossians. And in Colossians 1, Paul, when he writes about so that you may live a life worthy of God and please him in every way, it goes on to say, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And so what we see here is that being strengthened with the power of God releases us into a greater endurance and patience. Being strengthened with his power, it releases us into greater endurance and patience. Not particularly exciting words in our culture. Endurance and patience. Not very exciting kind of words, but very significant to the life of a disciple. Patience. Being long-tempered. What that means. Being long-tempered. Means like you have the power to exercise revenge, but you choose to exercise restraint. That's what patience means. You have the power to exercise revenge, but you choose restraint. Long temper. I wonder if there is anyone in the room that struggles with a short temper. Short temper. It's hard to have a long temper. By the way, that doesn't always have to be on the outside. Sometimes we think it's only on the outside. For me, my short temper happens on the inside. You might not see it, but it happens. My short temper's on the inside. If you want to grow in that fruit of the Spirit, patience, that long temper, exercising restraint on a consistent basis, you're going to need the power of God, which is why Paul says, being strengthened with all power according to his might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. It's that call to be strengthened with the power of God. Being strengthened with his power releases us into a greater endurance and patience. Now in Ephesians, and we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning in Ephesians, towards the beginning of Paul's letter in Ephesians, Paul writes this. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom, is that word again, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you would know him better. Hasn't it always been about knowing him? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power to those of us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who is everything in every way. The power that was exerted by God to raise Jesus is the same that exists within you. Okay, that's a good starting place for the power of God. The same power means the same measure, exactly the same power that God chose to exert when he raised Jesus from the grave exists within you. Paul goes on in Ephesians and he talks in chapter 3, and we're going to read a few more verses from chapter 3. And he says in verse 10 of chapter 3 that the intent of God's intent was now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, through faith, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. God's intention, this is maybe a talk for another day, but the manifold wisdom of God, his intention, the intent of God was that the manifold wisdom, is our word again, wisdom would be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities. Now, that word manifold is really interesting because it means much varied or many colored, multifaceted, multidimensional. The manifold wisdom of God. That the church, God, I'm not going to do a good job of communicating this, I'm really sorry, but God has an intention for his church. His intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, the much varied, multifaceted, multidimensional, many-colored wisdom, his many-colored wisdom, would be displayed in the heavenly realms to the rulers and authorities. And I guess what I'm trying to get to is that I believe that the church was never supposed to get stuck in tradition. And when I say tradition, I don't necessarily mean old things. Every church of every kind, every denomination has a tradition. The church was never supposed to get stuck in its tradition because the manifold wisdom of God was supposed to be displayed through it. And the manifold wisdom of God is much varied, many colored. And when we get stuck and we don't display as the church the manifold wisdom of God, we deny that opportunity. We are denied that opportunity as the church to display his multifaceted, much varied nature. Even in our own faith, when we get stuck, we're not stepping fully into that place of being able to display that multifaceted nature of who God is to the people around us. God has an intention for his church. And as Paul writes, and he continues to write to the church in Ephesus, verse 14 of chapter 3, he says this, one of his great prayers, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may," and here's our phrase again, "strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being established and rooted in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." There's a lot of words in there. "But I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power." Being strengthened with God's power releases us into a greater endurance and patience from Colossians. But being strengthened with God's power also opens a doorway to a greater intimacy with Jesus. Being strengthened with God's power so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, meaning that Christ, Jesus, would be at home in your heart, that he would dwell there, that Jesus would be at home here. To be at home in you is to imply a degree of intimacy that was always intended to exist in our relationship with Jesus. Not distance, but intimacy. "I pray you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and that you may be filled to the fullness of the measure of God." Being strengthened with the power of God is really important. It's really important. Not that we spend all our energy and our time desperately trying to strengthen ourselves and doing everything ourselves, but we invite the power of God to come and to strengthen us. I think it's partly why Paul writes in Colossians, that at the beginning of our verses, "I pray that you would be continually filled with the knowledge of God's will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may walk out a life that's worthy of God and you can please him in every way." Isn't what this has been all about is it's constantly moving away from our own sense of stuff towards a greater sense of dependency and love for him. That we would take the call of being the first and second commandment people really seriously. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's like really simple. We're called to be first and second commandment people. And it's about him. All these verses, they're about him. It's about his power. It's about his wisdom. It's about his understanding. It's his will. And it's our job to surrender to that, to let go, to hang the weight of our lives, to depend, to hang the weight of our lives on him. And so this morning, as we begin just to wrap this bit up and we move towards a time where we can pray for one another, my hope is that for anyone in the room who wrestles with that dependency we talked about, and you sense like you're resonating with that idea of moving towards a greater dependency on him and away from that dependency on all the other stuff, we want to pray for you this morning. And we also want to pray for you if you would like to be strengthened with the power of God this morning. Be strengthened with his power. So that you may be a person who can walk into, be released into greater endurance and patience. But also that you might receive that invitation, go walk through that doorway through God's power to a greater intimacy with Jesus. Because hasn't it always been about loving him? About knowing him more? About being first and second commandment people? And so we'd love to do that for the rest of our time together. I'm sure there are many people in the room who desire to walk a life worthy of God and to please him in every way. And we've unpacked what that really is all about, and we continually ask that God would fill us with the knowledge of his will, that we'd be strengthened with his power today. So why don't we stand together? Worship team, you can jump back up if you'd like. And so we're gonna make this really simple this morning. We don't want to overcomplicate it. Don't want to do anything, hopefully, that's going to be unhelpful to you in your response. And so there are whole things that you could do, a bunch of things you could do if you'd like to respond in any way. We'd love to pray for two particular groups. So the first group being, if you resonate with the shifting balance of dependency in your life, the first group, and the second group, around being strengthened with the power of God this morning to move towards greater endurance and patience and towards a greater intimacy with Jesus. And the way we'll do that, I think, is we'll just, you can obviously pray with someone you've come with if you'd like to. You can obviously pray on your own if you'd like to do that. But there's something really important, I think, and special about people praying for people. The church gathering around each other and praying for one another. And so we want to do that too. And so as we've done in the last number of weeks, we're just going to call you, if you'd like to, just to move to a side aisle, to move here to the front, to move to the back. And we want to try and get some people to you to help and to pray with you if that's you. Okay? And you can do that as we begin to worship again together. And I'll be right here, Mike will be here, Chris will be here. We've got other people that will be around to pray with you, which we'll grab as and when you come. But let's pray together now and invite God to do what he wants to do.